pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, Anthony Slater, sports editor for the Ocali. Welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be back. What's this, number 3, 4? I don't really remember.
I think it's number 3. We haven't done one in quite a while, though.
Have we done one this football season?
I don't think we... maybe to open the year, maybe first week.
Yeah, I think we did some, but...
Yeah, it's been a while. You've been doing a great job covering the Cowboys this year, though. You've been with the team all year. One thing I wanted to ask you, what... outside of Whedon and Blackman, who's kind of been the guy that's been the most important person to this team that they can at least afford to lose this year?
Joseph Randall, I'd probably say. He's so talented. And, I mean, you see the stuff he's doing. Look, he had 8 TDs the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So versatile. I mean, you can split him out. In the Missouri game, he had that, you know, slant over the middle that he just... He looks like a receiver out there. I mean, he probably could be one of the better receivers on the team if he needed to be. So I guess offensively, I'd go with him. Defense, Marquel Martin. I mean, he's a stud. Sean Lewis. I feel like the defense is more, you know, just as a whole. There's not one player that's, you know, is like Whedon on offense, you know.
Right. Did you feel like in the Baylor game, just from talking to or interviewing different guys on the team, that they felt disrespected going into the Baylor game just from the negative national media attention that they were getting?
I do think that the national media attention, I think that's been overblown a little bit. I do think they were felt disrespected some. I mean, I think it was Sean Lewis that made the comment that he was working out or something with Marquel Martin, and they saw some kind of headline or something on ESPN that said no D in Stillwater. And I mean, they do feel a little disrespected, but I know they look at it some, but I think the fans are getting a little more angry about it than the players themselves.
Yours truly included. The Kai Staley story, I think that fans appreciate it and they enjoy it and they like it. But I don't know that they fully understand how far back he's come. Do you, just in talking to the guys, you know, do they really, I mean, they really admire him, don't they?
Oh, big time. I wrote a feature on him, I think a month or two back. And I don't think people realize how, they know he had the bad injury, but I don't think they realize how bad it was. I mean, he tore every ligament in his knee. He tore his calf muscle. He tore his hamstring, and he had a lot of nerve damage in his leg to the point where they call it slump foot, where his foot was like constantly bent. They figured he'd walk again, but they didn't know if, you know, he'd be able to jog or he'd be able to run that well again. And pretty much everyone in the training staff I talked to said they had thought 0% chance he was coming back. So the fact that he's, you know, now starting in the Big 12 is... it's a crazy story. It really is.
How worried... did you go to the media day today?
Yeah, I did.
How worried is this team about... or I guess, what is this team worried about for the K-State game? What concerns them? What does K-State do well that they're focused on?
The one thing about this team, and it's been pretty obvious all year. I mean, you can ask them K-State questions and they'll, you know, give the... oh, they do this good, they do this good. But it really seems to me that they really don't worry about what the other team does. They figure their game plan and their offense and the way they play is, if they play their game, they're going to be Kansas State, you know, if Kansas State at their best game. So I really don't think they're too worried about it. And honestly, I don't think LSU fans should be too worried about this game either. Just how deep this team is, I don't really see them having a setback until Bedlam, honestly. I'm not saying they're going to have a setback in Bedlam, but, you know, that will be a good game.
Right. Is Josh Cooper going to be available this weekend?
Sounds like it. Gundy said this Sunday night that it was just a tight hamstring. He probably could have gone in the second half, but didn't. And he should be good for Saturday.
It's kind of interesting. One thing that I've noticed this year is I feel like Gundy protects his guys quite a bit. You know, Blackman sitting out the second half at Missouri, Cooper the second half against Baylor. Is that something that the coaches just kind of trust the depth and they just roll with what they have?
Yeah, they trust the depth. I mean, if you think about it, Blackman's sitting the second half, but, you know, they've already built a 21-point lead. Cooper's sitting, but, you know, you're 35-0 at halftime. Well, why do you need to push it? So I think, let's say it's Bedlam and it's a 17-14 game in the third quarter and the same thing happens to Blackman. I would guess he would still be on the field. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's your favorite guy to interview on the team?
Oh, man. It depends on what you want. Like, I like Joseph Randall. He's confident. He'll always give short quotes, but good quotes and meaningful quotes. Brandon Whedon's good to talk about anything, you know, if you need a quote on a specific player, doesn't even matter where he plays on the field, you know, Whedon's got something good to say about him usually, quotable at least. They're all pretty good. I mean, I'd go with Whedon and would be the go-to guy to get a good quote from. Rashetti Jones will give you funny ones. they're all pretty good though, honestly.
How much fun has this year been to cover this team specifically as they march towards, you know, a possible Big 12 and national championship?
I mean, it's crazy. When I first decided to come here, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'm going to a place where they'll eventually be ranked in the top 25 when I'm covering the team, you know, because I came before last year and they were unranked, but I knew they had talent and they had, you know, a good program coming. But I mean, to think that I'm covering definitely a national championship contender. You know, you win the next four games, you're in the national championship. It's surreal to cover them, and I mean, it's a big time program, and it should be here for a while.
You've got Bedlam coming up. You know, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but what is, I mean, to you guys, to the media, what is that game going to be like from a media coverage standpoint? I mean, it's going to be unreal, isn't it?
If you think about it, you're going to have all of the OSU people that constantly cover OSU. You'll have all the people that cover OU, and then, you know, plus on pretty much every state media is going to be here. And then that's on a weekend where that's pretty much separated from the rest of college football. I mean, there's a few other big games, you know, the conference title. But that should be if OSU wins there in the national championship, if that's what happens. And, I mean, that's going to be a circus. It's going to be tough to walk around the press box.
And I don't want to go too far into this, but just kind of from a media perspective, what have you learned this year in covering this team and interviewing players and in writing and different things like that? What have you learned about yourself just as kind of a media personality that you're like, man, you know, I really need to work on this, or I feel like I'm good at this? You know, what has this year kind of taught you about that?
I'm really only in my second year of like real journalism, I'd say, because I mean, my last school is D2, where, you know, there's 10 fans of the game and it's all family. So I mean, this I've just learned about, just especially college football, just the hype around it and the importance of just make sure you're accurate and everything, because I mean, people read my stuff. I mean, I may be a college journalist, but I mean, you know, it still gets read. It's still important that I'm accurate with everything, and it's really been an interesting year, and I feel like I've definitely grown. It's fun to be around all the professional journalists, like, you know, all the people from the Oklahoma and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, this has been, it's been invaluable, what I've learned, I would say.
Yeah, that's awesome. Favorite town to visit in the Big 12 so far?
Austin, no doubt. Austin. 6th Street, that Friday night before was an interesting night. Very fun. College Station, and Austin was definitely number one, but College Station was really fun. It was crazy to see the just the environment down there and just how rabid a fan base it is. I mean, we were out on a Friday night at the bars, you know, around, and I hadn't really heard of the Yale practice before. And I was with some people from Texas A&M. They're like, come on, it's like midnight on Friday night. They're like, come on, let's go down to Yale practice. I'm like, what? And we go down, and it's at the stadium. There's about, you know, 30,000 people practicing their chants for the game. It was interesting.
Yeah, sure. It's a different world. It's crazy, but it's pretty cool how passionate they are. Speaking of A&M, what do you blame their – I mean, obviously they lost to Oklahoma State in a really good game, and then they turn around and lose to Arkansas and Missouri. You know, they're supposed to be a top-10 team. What do you blame their kind of downfall on this year?
I mean, a lot of it has to do with bad breaks. I mean, all three of their games are close games. They lost to Missouri was it in overtime or?
Yeah, it was
overtime. I know it was on overtime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that right there, that's a tough game, tough loss. They lost to OSU by 1 point. They lost to Arkansas. You know, they lose on that second half comeback. So, it's bad breaks. I don't know if they're letting their foot off the gas pedal. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, you could tell they're still a talented team. Like, I don't think they'll win this weekend in Norman, but I'm not going to count them out just because of the talent. I don't know if it's coaching. I haven't watched them close enough besides the OSU game to comment on why. Like, I can't say Mike Sherman's doing a terrible job because I haven't watched them closely enough. But I don't know. What do you think about A&M?
Well, it seems weird because I watch them and I'm like, yeah, you know, this is a pretty talented team. They've got good skill position players. They seem pretty deep. They got a pretty good quarterback. And for me, it has to come back to coaching on some level. You know, you've got these second half leads, and it's like, you got to finish as a coach. You have to know your team, and you have to know, you know, how to get them to the finish line, which I feel like, you know, Oklahoma State hasn't had a lot of close games this year, but I feel like Gundy does a very good job of getting out of the way of the offensive and defensive play calling and just, you know, kind of spurring his team on towards where they need to go, managing the clock, doing all those things that he needs to do. And maybe Mike Sherman's just too wrapped up in play calling. I don't know. But it just, to me, it has to come back to coaching.
The one thing I will say about A&M and the coaching is in both second halves, the OSU one and the Arkansas one, I don't see why you don't run Gray and Mike. That tandem is, it's got to be the best in the country. Both those backs are great.
Yeah,
and he didn't run them much.
They're throwing deep to Fuller, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, you've got,
you've
basically got, you know, Joseph Randle and Jeremy Smith back there, and you're not using them. Like, what? Yeah. You know, it's just bizarre. I don't understand it.
Yeah,
but who's the best player that you've seen play against Oklahoma State this year, whether it's on offense or defense or whatever?
That's a tough one. Kendall Wright impressed me, at least in the first half, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Griffin, I would say Robert Griffin is the best player. He just didn't play as well, let's think. I mean, I was really impressed in the first half with both Michael and Gray, the ones I was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say all those guys, skill position. I'm trying to think.
Is there anybody from Texas? Is there anybody from Texas that impressed you, or are they just kind of just?
I mean, Ash's mobility did, and their defense did. I mean, they got some playmakers. They're always going to have some playmakers on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But they're rebuilding. I think they'll be good in a couple of years. But
well, you hear a lot about Nick Foles from Arizona. What was he like in person to watch?
He had some. He had some great throws, especially in the second half, but that was when OSU was giving him a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
They pressured him in the first half, and he was pedestrian, definitely. I mean, I wasn't as pressed as I thought I was going to be with him. The best quarterback this year has got to be Griffin. I mean, he was making some plays on Saturday, even though they lost the game. He played probably his worst game of the year, but you can just tell he's going to be a great player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you covering basketball at all this year? Or I guess what's your role in covering basketball?
I'll be the main guy because next semester I'm not going to be a sports editor. I'm just going to cover basketball.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Well, so you went to homecoming and hoops.
I did.
What was the scene like there?
It was, I mean, that's what it was. It was a scene. It was a, you know, it was just a show. I mean, there was no actual basketball really being played, you know. It was kind of like an NBA All-Star game where, you know, defense is getting out of the way. People are dunking. The only guy that was actually playing defense was Yurik, just because I think that's all he knows how to do, really. Like, so he blocked a couple shots, which is interesting. But, I mean, even in that, you could just tell with Nash, he's going to be something special, you know. He looked smooth in his shot. He hit a couple threes that looked like, you know, he's going to hit a few a game this year, I'd say.
Tell me why LSU fans should be excited about basketball this year. You know, coming off a season where you're kind of disappointed that you didn't make the tournament because you couldn't really win a road game. You know, what about this season should get fans excited?
It's weird how different this team is from last year, and it's because, I mean, last year you had Moses, you had Pilgrim, and you had to have Paige play point, and he's not really a point guard. It was more slow it down, you know, get it inside, not Travis Ford's type of offense. This year, I mean, you have so many players that can play, you know, the 2, 3, or 4. You know, Nash can be pretty much 1 through 5, honestly. Brian Williams can play 2, 3, 4. Markel Brown, you know, 2, 3. Paige, 1, 2. Guerrero at the 1 and 2. They're just going to get up and down. And even if they don't win as many games as I think they should, they're still going to be really fun to watch the games. You know, they're going to be – there might be some meltdowns. There might be some huge upsets. You know, they'll upset some good teams, and they might even get upset by some bad teams. It's a young team. You never know what you're going to get, but I just think every game should be fun.
What does C.J. Guerrero – does he go by C.J. or Caesar?
He did, went by C.J., and then I heard Mike Notaware said his mom didn't like that, so he had to go back to Caesar.
Okay. What does he do what's his best attribute? What does he do best?
This was probably the most impressive thing at Homecoming Hoops. It's really a sight to watch in person, what he can do with the ball. I mean, he has it on a string. He's by far the best ball handler on the team. He'll track some no-look passes. And I'd say if you threw him right in the fire this year and had him play 25 minutes a game, especially in the Big 12, he'd probably average 4.5 turnovers. But you can tell, I mean, he's got some real talent with the ball. He's quickest player on the team. Ford's even said he's definitely the quickest player with the ball on the team. And, I mean, I think he's going to look good in the early part of this year non-conference. And then Big 12, when you play some physical guards, I mean, he'll probably lose some playing time, but he's going to be a special player. So,
do you enjoy covering basketball or football better?
Basketball. I was a basketball player in high school. That's always been my number one sport. Plus, the access to the basketball team is it's just more enjoyable. And I'm not ripping on football at all. It's just, I mean, especially this year, there's so much media coverage and so many requests that, you know, it's hard to get somebody one-on-one, or it's hard to get them, you know, a few times a week. But with basketball, I mean, they're pretty good about, you know, I'll be able to go watch some of practice and, you know, talk one-on-one with any player after the game. You know, you got a huge recruit freshman coming in, Nash, and I mean, I've already had, you know, a sit-down 25-minute interview with him to where I can't even talk to Herschel Sims or J.W. Walsh, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, that Q&A with Nash was, I mean, that was must read, article right there. That was awesome. What was he like in person, just from a personality standpoint, that you're like, man, you know, this guy's got it going on?
I mean, a lot of people, after I put it out there, you know, either on Twitter or wherever, commented, you know, he's cocky, he's arrogant. I don't know. I didn't really sense that. He's very honest, which is refreshing.
Right.
And he's cerebral. He thinks about stuff, and I think that's what makes him such a good, you know, he knows basketball so well. And you can just tell he's a smart guy. I mean, I don't know if he came off it in the Q&A or not, but, you know, he analyzes stuff a lot, and you can just tell he's on his game, and I think he's going to be a great player. So, I mean, a lot of people are harping on his attitude. Did you read the part where he explained why he thought people – saw he had an attitude problem?
Yeah, it was really weird because he's almost admitting, like, you know, I don't always go that hard against people that don't challenge me. And so it's like, yeah. I don't know whether to take that as, man, this guy's going to be even better than we thought he was, or to take it as
he's going to do that again.
Maybe he's lazy, or, you know, it's kind of something where you can take it a bunch of different ways.
I mean, I think it was a simple statement he said to me, but he was right. I asked him the question, and he was like, I mean, what kids don't have, you know, issues when you're 18?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you're going to have a little attitude issues. I played high school basketball. I had some attitude issues. I got a few technical fouls. I mean, it's just going to happen. And he just really seems like he's grown up. I mean, he'll openly talk about how just this, you know, month and a half, 2 months at OSU, being away from, you know, family, he's already grown up, and he realizes that he shouldn't argue with the refs as much as he does. So I just think it's a growing process for, I mean, people need to remember he's 18, or I think he's now 19 years old. But
yeah, and I feel like he's fair to the situation. You know, he acknowledges, you know, maybe I was a punk in high school, and you know, I'm going to try to make things different now, and this is who I am. And I don't know. I do appreciate that he's very open and honest about who he is, where he came from, and where he's trying to go.
And that's all you can really ask. I mean, you just want him to be honest. He's been honest with the media so far, and I think OSU fans are going to love him. I really do.
Do you get the sense from him and or Ford that that it's a given that he's one and done?
You know, I remember when he tweeted something on NBA draft day about, you know, this time next year I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, okay, this guy is set. But, you know, he's gone. But, you know, I'm starting to get the sense of him. A lot of it really depends on this year, how he does, and how much he enjoys this year. I think if he's guaranteed a top 5 to 10 pick, he'll go.
Right.
But if he's dropping to maybe middle of the first, and he loves, you know, he loved his first year at OSU, I heard he's, I don't know how well he knows Marcus Smart, but I heard they might be buddies. And Marcus Smart's a big recruit coming in next year.
Right, right.
So who knows? I mean, I'm definitely not going to say it's not as – like, Justin Blackman's gone.
Right.
LeBron Nash, if I had to guess right now, I'd say, yeah, he's probably gone, but I wouldn't be surprised if he came back.
Yeah. Okay, Anthony Slater, appreciate you coming on. Really enjoy talking some hoops. Looking forward to that this year. We will
Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night. What are you covering that?
I will be. Panhandle State. It'll probably be a 60-point win, but we'll get through the whole rock.
I'm jonesing for some basketball right now. I mean, it's tough because it's like, I mean, do you get the sense from people on campus that, I mean, does anybody even know there's a game on Wednesday night?
Honestly, not as many as I will be interested to see how many people show up Wednesday, because football is just what everyone's talking about right now, and they should be, but I don't know. We'll see. They're going to have to win some big games early on, and then I think as football season ends and basketball season gets into Big 12, I'd expect some big crowds. But we'll see Wednesday. It could be half full or it could be full. I really have no idea.
Yeah, I think you kind of set yourself up with that preseason NIT. I think you have to get by maybe UTSA and maybe ORU, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
To get to New York, and then you kind of set yourself up to say, okay, you know, students can kind of take notice, and of course, then again, that'll be around Bedlam time, so who knows?
Yeah, if they get to New York, people will start to take notice big time. I mean, if they can play Syracuse in the finals, which is the one Nash seems to be eyeing. Every time you talk to him, he's talking about that Syracuse game, even though That would be the one they could put themselves on the map, especially in MSG, but they got to get by this first two first.
Yeah,
we'll see.
For sure.
I'm really interested to see this. They could be terrible this year, or they could be they could challenge for the Big 12.
That's kind of how I feel, too. I don't know how much in between there is either. You know, I don't know if there's if they're going to be anywhere in between that.
Yeah. I mean, they could have the same record as last year's team. But I'll tell you what, they have a much, much higher ceiling than last year's team.
Yeah.
Which I think is the thing that's gotten people a little bit more excited.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, Slater. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Great insight. Yeah. Good stuff as always. You guys check his stuff out at ocali.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at @AnthonyVSlater. And we will talk to you later on.
I got the Twitter plug. I need some more followers. There you go.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
See ya.